Hey there, everybody. It's time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are very glad that you are joining us today. So always look forward to being on the air every single Sunday afternoon. We've got one of our radio team on the line. Which one of you is there, Megan or Cindy?
It's Meg. Hi, Pastor.
Hello, Megan. How are you? How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you, my friend?
Good, good. I'm so glad that you could be on today. I know you've been on the road the last few days, all the way to Indiana from Michigan.
Yes, ma'am.
So from your usual
stomping grounds.
Yeah, Indiana. Was it good to be there?
Oh, it was. You know, I can say this. I don't really miss it. I really don't.
Okay.
It was good to be back, but I don't miss it. I'm glad to be where I am.
Well, that reminds me of that verse in Philippians 4:10 or 11, I think it is 11, where Paul says, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I'm in. They're in to be content.
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
Amen.
So,
that's right.
And there you are. So I know you had to go to Indiana for some other reasons, but we're glad all that turned out well, too, and that you're doing good. So glad to have you back on the air with us, Megan. To some of our
glad
listeners,
to be back on, my friend.
Let me get Cindy in here. There we go. We got Cindy in there, too. Cindy, hey, how are you? Idaho.
Hello. Howdy.
Hi. Do they say howdy in Idaho, Cindy?
No, that's a West Virginia word.
That is a West Virginia word. Okay, well, that I thought, where'd that come from? Howdy. All right. We're glad you're both on today. It's really great to have you here. So it's going to be a great, great show. We had a super wonderful service. The anointing of God was very strong today. And I'm fired up. I'm ready to have a great show with you two. We are in 1 Kings 17. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Some of you want to grab your Bibles. But we're in this new series called Prayer Power Personified. That's a whole lot of words that begin with P. Prayer Power Personified. And personified means as it applies to you personally, right? So talk to us, Cindy. Why do we need to learn to pray and have ourselves engaged in the prayer process? Why can't we just say, okay, God, help me today. Bye. Why can't we do that? Which I think a lot of people do that very thing, actually.
That's not a very good relationship.
Oh, it's not a very good relationship. Very good.
It's like, you know, being married to someone and you get ready and go to work and you look at them and go, see you later.
Right.
You know?
Don't talk to them. Right.
Yeah, you don't.
You know,
don't
there's probably some marriages out there in radio land that are just like that, though, Cindy.
Oh, yeah.
Where that's it. Exactly. You know, there's just not much communication. So,
right.
which brings me to that point, Cindy. Why communicating? Why is that so important? Maybe you started to say that. So go ahead.
Well, you know, it's hard to feel loved if you don't have that communication.
Right.
It's hard to, you know, if you're in a relationship where that effort is not there to connect, to know each other, to, you know. Even the basics of,
right.
Hey, have a good day. I'm really going to miss you. You know,
exactly.
At least,
right.
Then it just reinforces the feeling that this person, they're not invested. They don't really care. They're not putting in the effort. Why should I?
Do you know, you're exactly right. And I think a lot of people in Radio Land are probably going, yeah, I know how that feels. Because I think that is a common problem. Megan, talk to us about this. Communication in a relationship is something when I'm doing a marriage ceremony, and I've done many, many through the years, I always take a couple minutes in the ceremony to talk about the value of communication. Why would I even do that? Talk to us, Meg.
Well, Pastor, it's a very needed dynamic in any relationship with another human being or with another being.
Right.
It's, you know, humans, we come into this world needing to communicate. You know, the first thing is we learn how to cry to communicate our needs, and then we learn how to speak.
Right.
And it's the core dynamic to human nature. We have to have a connection with people. We have to be able to talk.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what happens if we don't have that kind of situation and we don't have that kind of communication? What happens to the relationship?
It'll falter, Pastor. There's always struggle. There's a level of frustration, or the other person feels that they're not heard or that they're left out. And it can lead to a lot of difficult situations and a lot of emotional needs.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely can. And for those out there, they're saying, hey, you're hitting on a problem I have in a relationship or whatever. Cindy, what do you say to people who are in, and this is not our topic for today, except that I do want to start with a little discussion about relationships and how important our relationship with God is. So let's talk about how important it is with people around us.
Oh, yeah. Well, communication steady communication, honest communication can help avoid misunderstandings and a lot of hurt feelings. at your job, you need your boss to tell you what's expected of you. It's not like, hey, welcome to the club.
Right.
Have a seat, do some work, you know?
Right.
And so I think we all have expectations and boundaries we need to know, you know, at work. Well, what are my authorities?
Right.
What am I allowed to do without asking?
Exactly.
When I have to ask, who do I ask?
Right.
You can't just have a relationship without some rules and some boundaries, and you have to talk about what those are.
And in a relationship with God, it's very important that we learn to have communication with Him. Megan, talk about that, because I think this really boils down to what we talk about when we talk about prayer. Prayer, power personified. It's a personal growth in prayer that we each need, and that's what this series is all about, personally growing in prayer, in our prayer power. So talk about that, Meg.
It's important that we continue to communicate with the Father.
Yes.
Because in any relationship, whether it's with someone here on earth or whether it's with the Lord, it's not a one-way street.
Right.
It comes from two different directions. God is always, 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 always wanting to communicate with us.
Yes.
But it's generally, it's always us that's lacking.
Right.
And I think, you know, this personified view needs to be that we're going to attempt to make a more dedicated approach to our prayer with Him, that we need to dedicate more time to Him, especially now with the way things are in the world,
right.
Is that we need to make sure that we're getting deeper into that relationship, because with the evilness that's going on around us and the unknown nature of how tomorrow is going to look,
right,
we have to realize that this personified prayer position puts us in a different perspective on what the outside world is doing.
Okay, explain that a little further. Okay, explain that just a little more.
What I mean is that we have faith that the victory's already been won.
Okay.
We have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead,
yes,
to command Satan to fall at our feet.
Right.
We have the same exact power.
Right.
And whatever comes our way, any moment of any day, I don't mean to rhyme, but we have that personified prayer power to move through any situation, no matter how difficult it might be.
Well, and that is exactly right. And we are going to talk more about that and the power we have in prayer, which I believe, ladies, a lot of people do not use it because they don't know about it. They don't understand the value of relationship and how that impacts their lives and their prayer life. And here's one thing they learned, very important, that's part of your prayer life. And it starts with this song we're going to start with today from Wren Collective. And it's counting every blessing. And then I'm going to ask you both how that applies to prayer. So hang on. Here we go.
I was was blind, now I'm seeing in color. I was dead, now I'm living forever. I had failed, but you were my redeemer. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I was lost, now I'm found by the Father. I've been changed from a ruin to treasure. I've been given a hope and a future. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing, letting go and trusting when I cannot see. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing, surely every season you are good to me.
Radio Land, tell him that he's good to you, because he loves it when you tell him that. Woo! Well, welcome to Living the Good Life. We're here with Cindy and Megan. Cindy's in Idaho, Megan's in Michigan, and I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, and we are able to have a show together, and I find that just wonderful. So anyway, so Cindy, let's talk about, why would I start this discussion of prayer with that song?
Because a big part of communication is thankfulness and expressing that. That's, for instance, your relationship
Amen.
With your kids. If, as you know, when they're younger, they need a lot from you.
And right. Sure.
Sometimes, you know, they're not always thankful for it. They just take it for granted. But as they get older, then, you know, if you have an adult child that is just constantly asking you for things.
Right.
Can you help me with this? Can I borrow money? Can you come over and watch the kids? You know, and they never thank you for that. Then, you know, that sets up resentment. That sets up a breakdown in communication because, you know, there has to be that two-way street. And if they
sure.
don't ever do anything for you, if you're watching their kids, but when you need help, you know, shoveling snow off your walk, they're nowhere to be found, then, you know, that creates problems. And so a big part of a good two-way street of communication is thankfulness. And you thank God for the things that he's given you. Big and small.
Amen. I totally agree with you, and I have problems with my kids when I call them when they're in Indiana and Texas and ask them to come shovel my snow in Florida. They always
yeah.
say no, Cindy. They always say, are you kidding me, Mom? What's wrong with you today? I don't understand this. Megan, can you shed any light on that? Cindy gave us a great example, though. I'm just messing around. But you know what? This is so true. Your point well taken, Cindy. Megan.
You know, to me, coming in with that song is that no matter what we're going through, whether it's a good season or a tough season, we still have to praise him for what he's doing.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
I can tell you through circumstances of my own that even though there's a tough season, there's always a blessing that comes from it. And that's
yeah.
where we need to thank him, even when it's hard. We need to let him know how much we appreciate everything that he does, even the things that he does behind the scenes that we don't see.
Exactly.
And I completely agree with Cindy in regards to looking at it as a parent-child relationship because, you know, it's you've got to mentor that child, and that's exactly what God is to us. He's our mentor
yes,
at life.
Yes, he is,
and,
yes.
But he's a miracle worker. So.
Right. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. And so would you both say that the connection here of why it's important to learn to thank God and count every blessing is because our prayer power grows as we become more and more aware of what God is really doing in our lives for us on a daily basis. Would y'all agree with that? You want to comment on that?
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Cindy.
I mean, I've said before on the show, I kind of just have this running conversation with God all day long.
Yes.
And I thank him for parking favor.
Right, you know? Right.
Not these days, because I'm not driving very much. I'm working at home.
But, oh, okay.
But, you know, you go out to the grocery store and it's raining.
Right.
And I know it does that in Florida.
Yes.
you know, and you're driving around. Oh, Lord, you know, I am going to get absolutely drenched. Could
yeah.
you please give me a space a little closer?
Sure.
And, you know, sure enough, one opens
he does.
Up.
Right.
You know? And so there's nothing too small to talk to him about, to ask him for, or to thank him for. And the Bible talks about how he, you know, he takes care of birds.
Exactly.
And,
yes.
I mean, you know, birds,
they're constantly on the lookout for something to eat.
Right.
And, you know, a place to sleep.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, and it talks about how, well, if he knows each of them and he takes care of them, then what makes us think that he's not going to take care of us?
Oh, absolutely. Today we are talking about this power in prayer, and we are talking about God revealing himself to us as our provider. And we're going to go back to 1 Kings 17 probably in a little while, but for now we're going to start with Genesis 22. And Genesis 22 is one of the many very important chapters in the Bible. Why would I say that, Megan?
It was the beginning of the existence of mankind and the beginning of the existence of our planet.
Yep, in Genesis 1, yes, in Genesis,
yes,
right?
But in Genesis, period, it talks about, to me, all of God's promises.
Exactly.
And how wonderful of a father he is.
And he reveals himself to us through a lot in the book of Genesis. Let's go to chapter 22, and we're going to encounter the guy Abram, who is Abraham now. And Abraham's promised son, he waited 25 years from the time God promised him that he was going to have a son, he and Sarah, when they were 75 and 65 is when the first promise came. Sarah was 10 years younger than Abraham. And it took 25 years for her to get pregnant. And she got pregnant at such a late age, 90? Wow. Wow. You talk about God of the impossible, which we're going to talk today about God being the God of the impossible. And so, radio audience, if you have some issues going on in your life that you say, I just don't see how God's ever going to pull me out of this, or I don't see how I'm ever going to be able to get victory over this problem, or I don't see how ever God is going to supply my every need, whatever the case may be, stay tuned because your faith will be increased. Chapter 22 of Genesis, God tested Abraham's faith. And he said, Abraham, and he answered, here I am. I find that fascinating. And God still to this day is testing our faith, Megan. There are times that he goes, well, let's just let you go through a little difficulty here so you can learn to trust me, meaning him, more. This is the purpose of tests and trials. We will grow our faith. Megan, do you want to talk about that? Because it's hard for a lot of people to understand. And they think, well, if God loved me so much, he wouldn't allow anything to happen to me. And remember Graham Cook's statement, Cindy, you know this. Graham Cook says, God allows in his wisdom what he could easily prevent by his power.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, either one of you. Cindy, go ahead, and then I'll get to Megan.
You know, I don't like going through stuff, obviously.
You don't like going through stuff? Yeah, who does, right?
Nobody does.
Nobody does, yeah. Hardships, difficulties, pain.
A lot of times you get to the other side of it, and maybe it saved you from something.
Right.
You know,
right.
Maybe it, a lot of times it saved you from a relationship that would have turned out disastrous.
Yes.
It, you learned from it. You see things a different way. You've got a new perspective. You've got a deeper empathy for people
right.
who've gone through similar situations. You know, like I said, I don't like going through stuff. I hate going through stuff.
Right.
But, you know, you can find reasons for it. You can...
Well, and we have to
look back at it.
Yes, yes. A lot of time, hindsight is a lot better than foresight, right? And we look back and we go, boy, I'm glad I didn't marry that guy. Or I'm glad that didn't happen to me. Or I'm glad I did not take that job after all. Megan, please talk to us. Give us your insight here on this concept of being tested and allowing God to train us the way he chooses to train us.
Well, I'll tell you what.
he'll test your patience.
Yeah.
He really will.
Sure.
Because and then you'll think at times, Father, where are you? Where did you go? Like, I feel like I'm standing here doing this all by myself. Where are you? And then all of a sudden, in your silly human nature, you turn around and you bump into him, and you're like, oh, there you are. You know, but it's like,
right.
Just recently, we knew that we needed to get out of the area that we were living in because it was not a good situation. And it was coming down to the wire, and we had a couple of decisions that we could have made, but we weren't comfortable with it. And, you know, you try to maintain the utmost faith, and you try not to have that humanistic nature where you're internally freaking out, wonder what you're going to
exactly,
do.
Exactly,
is this going to work? But that's when I had this vision of you need to pop your umbrella to block out all of the junk that's around you so that you stay in this little faith shelter.
Sure.
Because within a very short period of time, in my situation, God came through and said, here's the house, exactly what you needed, here you go. But you're thinking the whole time, how long is the Lord going to make me wait?
Right.
Well, guess what? Just like Abraham and Sarah,
right,
we're going to wait as long as it takes. That's the kind of mentality that we need to have. You know,
right,
it took 25 years for them to get a child, but when they waited and they had faith and they answered when God called upon them, God blessed them richly.
Amen.
With exactly what they wanted. Yeah, unfortunately, Sarah was very, very high in age, but it came at God's perfect timing.
It did.
So we need to learn to just hang on.
Okay, this is a huge principle in our discussion of prayer power personified for us individually, because part of the power that comes in prayer is when we learn to wait, when we learn to say, okay, God, not my will but yours, God, not my timing but yours, here's what I'd like to have happen, but I'm going to trust you, and I know you see the big picture and I don't. Cindy, would you comment on that? Because I think this is where we all get in trouble a lot of times. We get so impatient and we want the answers now.
Yeah. Well, and I'm in that situation. I need a place to live by the end of September.
Oh, wow. And, okay. We'll be praying about that.
And this will be my 23rd move in 20 years.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I am sick to death of moving.
Right.
And you know, the majority of those were not my choice.
Right.
A few of them, but most of them were, you know, the landlord sells the house or,
you know,
the last one, the person who told me they were the landlord didn't actually even own the house.
Oh my gosh.
Ended up going into rehab.
Oh my.
And I had 2 weeks to move, you know, and I'm tired.
I'm so
tired. And, you know, the housing market here in our area has just exploded to where now people are asking $1,000 for a single room.
Oh, my gosh.
Where you have to share the bathroom with somebody and park on the street.
Oh, my gosh. Cindy, I think it's better for you to think about moving back here to Florida, you know? I think you need to think on that.
A lot of people want me to move somewhere else.
Well, I'm putting my vote in for come back home. Come back home here. But anyway.
It's very discouraging.
Sure it is.
I look every single day for a place, and everybody has their opinions about, well, you know, you should be willing to share a bathroom. You know, parking on the street's not that bad. You know, stuff like
right,
that.
Stuff like that, yeah.
Okay, here's the deal. If you really believe God can do anything, why shouldn't I get to ask for what I want?
Right. And you can.
Why should I not believe that he can give me what I want and what I need?
Right.
You know, why should I have to settle because somebody else thinks
right
that it's okay, you know, well, you can share a bathroom.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I could, but I don't want to.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And so it's, you know, I
like I said, I've faced this situation now 23 times in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And something always comes.
Right.
He always
God always provides. So he's teaching you through all these experiences, isn't he, about his nature, that he is Jehovah Jireh, your provider, which is what we're talking about today. And I think that's a real good example, because that seems to be your particular issue you have to keep going through. Megan, we all know we all have those issues with things. It seems like we're going around the same mountain over and over again. Do you want to speak to that, Meg, before we go on here in Genesis 22?
Sure. I think the reason why sometimes why the Lord allows us to circle around the same mountain is because we missed something.
There you go.
What did we miss while we were marching?
Right.
Because, you know, and then sometimes you look back and think, oh, well, that was kind of a duh moment. Like, you know, I like here with me, Cindy, like in Michigan, where we can get oodles amounts of snow and it gets, you know, we have like 10 months out of the year that is cold. It's like, well, I can't live without a garage. I just can't do it. And the kids just can't do it. Well, guess what? We can do it.
Yeah.
Because that's our situation.
Sure.
And, you know, and it doesn't even come down to something that minute, but it can come down to something to some serious, you know, some serious health issues or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But that's where we've got to put that umbrella of faith up to protect ourselves.
Put yourself
in a shield of faith.
Right.
Just like we quote out of Ephesians, put on the armor.
Yes.
And watch what happens.
Woo. Okay. Great is the Lord by casting crowns. I love this song. Listen, and just rejoice and praise God during the song.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope and you restore every heart that is broken. Sing it to him. Great are you, Lord. 'Cause it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
You give life, sing it out.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath.
Sing it. Great are you.
and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Praise God. It's His breath, God's breath in your lungs. Woo! So we want to pour out our praise to Him. Talk to us, Megan. That's why we praise Him. And when we praise Him, we are preparing ourselves to go before the throne and ask for what we need. Talk to us, Meg.
You know, the time of praise is that when we can be unified with heaven and
yes.
let the Father know how much we adore Him. And it's a time of refreshing for us.
Yes.
And it's also such a wonderful time for Him because it just absolutely makes Him feel loved. He smiles. He holds you. He embraces you. It's
Woo!
Just a wonderful time of connection when we praise the Lord.
Oh, amen, amen, amen. And how does that impact our prayer life, Cindy?
Well, it can't help but make it better.
Right. Yes,
you know,
right.
You know, I always go back to the kid relationship is, you know, it makes you feel so good when your kids catch on and they start thanking you for things.
Doesn't it?
And a lot of times that happens when they have their own kids.
Right.
Because they realize the truth of what has gone on all along.
Right.
But, you know, it makes you feel good to have one of your kids say, "Hey, Mom, you know, thanks for teaching me that." Or, you know, "I really appreciate that you read to me when we were growing up." But just, you know.
And you know, you're right, Cindy, and to take your point right there, when we do that with God and say thank you for whatever, go ahead, run with that concept, what happens?
it increases. I mean, obviously he doesn't love us anymore. We don't love our kids anymore when they thank us.
Sure, know? Sure.
But it just enhances that relationship.
Oh, it's absolutely. Just, yeah, it does.
You know, it makes you feel like, oh, yeah, I did something right. You know?
Right, right.
I did a good job there.
And, right.
You know, it's like, oh, that time I put in was worth it.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, and when we look at Abraham here, the time that he put in, there were lessons that for us are making sense now over 6,000, well, actually 4,000, okay, more like, 6,000 years later. Here he is, a called the friend of God, okay, a man of great faith. And yet God tested him and told him to take his son Isaac and go on this trip. And this trip was 3 days long, which I find the parallels here. So often in the Old Testament, these are types of what was going to happen in the New Testament, right? Mm-hmm. And so here's Abraham being told by God, take your son, your only son, the only son by Sarah, right? And offer him up in verse 2 of Genesis 22, take now your son, your only son of promise, which you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. There were like six mountains around Jerusalem, and a lot of people feel like this was Mount Calvary. And I think that makes sense because mm-hmm. Isaac is a type. You know what I'm saying there,
mm-hmm.
Cindy? Yeah. So Abraham said, you know what, God, I don't like that idea. I'm going to just take a nap, and I'll talk to you in a couple weeks. No. What did he do in verse 3? He said, Abraham got up early in the morning, and he saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and then he got up and went to the place which God had told him to go to. Obedience. When I just keep stressing this the last 2 weeks in this new series. We have to be obedient. When we are obedient and listening to God's voice, our prayers are going to be answered quicker. That's my opinion. Megan, mm-hmm. He got up early and he went.
He did what he was told to do.
He didn't argue, did he?
And
no, he didn't argue.
No, he didn't. Yeah. Even though he may have had some thoughts of, what in the world? What? Why would he want me to do this?
Right.
But He went anyway.
He sure did.
Because he was on the track to be obedient.
Right.
Because when we're obedient, we are rewarded.
Yes. Yes.
And just like here now, today on earth, you know, we're not going to be called to sacrifice one of our children because the final sacrifice is Jesus Christ on the cross.
Right.
But we may be called to sacrifice some things in our lives.
We may be required, yes.
Maybe. We might be asked to move. We might mm-hmm. be asked to minister to someone that we don't want to talk to. We're asked to forgive people that we don't want to forgive. But we do it anyway because
right.
we need to be obedient to the Father. That's what we're called to do because that final flight into the air, we all want to be there.
Right.
That's why we should be obedient, even though
Amen.
Sometimes it's so very hard.
So very hard. Verse 4 of Genesis 22, if you're just now joining us, on the third day, that's not a coincidence. This is a foreshadowing mm-hmm. of what was going to happen to Jesus on the cross and what was going to happen to him when he came out of the tomb on, you know, after 3 days. Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance, and Abraham said to his servants, settle down, stay here with the donkey. The young man and I will go over there and worship God, and we will come back to you. Hebrews 11:17-19 says that Abraham knew in his heart that God had a provision.
Mm-hmm.
It says, we will come back to you, Cindy. Talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we need to not think that this was easy for him.
Right.
I think internally there was turmoil and lots of discussion with God, just like Jesus had that discussion before.
Yes, yes.
You know, if there's any way, can you please take this off of me?
Right.
But if not, I'll do it.
Right.
And I think that that same conversation was going on. But like, I think God gave him a peace.
Right.
God gave him the peace, and I think he, I mean, just the fact that God had provided Isaac as he said he would.
Yes.
At a time when they were so old. And,
right.
You know, I think that, and along with many other things in Abraham's life, increased his faith to the point where, Michael, this doesn't make a bit of sense, but, you know, look what he's done for me in the past.
Right. So
look what he's done. Obey.
Yeah.
And he told me I was going to be the father of nations,
right,
that I was going to have more descendants than stars in the sky.
Right.
You know, and his promises have always come true, so he's got something planned.
Well, in Romans chapter 4, I believe it says that Abraham thought that if God does have me kill my son, God will just raise him up from the dead.
Right.
I love that. That I forgot that until right now. In Romans 4, it says that that's what Abraham was thinking. So Abraham took the wood, and he went and laid it on the shoulders of Isaac, his son. This is also a type of Jesus carrying the cross, the wooden cross. Abraham had to Isaac had to carry the wood on his shoulders, on his back, and the fire, too, in his hand, and the sacrifice, the knife that was going to actually intended to kill him, okay? And in our growth in our lives, so often we have to learn by the cutting of our flesh. Explain that, Megan.
Sometimes we have to encounter some wounds along the road.
Right.
You know, not necessarily physical wounds, but emotional wounds.
Sure.
Because in those moments of those hurts, that's where we find God's true nature.
Yes.
And, you know, the symbolism behind another part of this walk with Isaac carrying those three items is that Abraham didn't let Isaac know what the Lord had told him he
was
going to do.
He did not.
That's another monumental piece of obedience, is that he didn't let his son know what they were going to do. He walked forth in obedience, and he didn't show fear to his son.
That's right.
And that really stands out to me a lot.
Yes, I love that. We're going to do this song, Praise is the Highway. Do you two know this song by Bethel? I love this song, and we're going to talk about it after.
The rocks will cry out, the oceans will roar, the mountains will bow to the name of the Lord. He is our God, He will be praised. The idols will fall, the strongholds will break, every weapon that forms will shatter. He is our
Praise God. Praise is the highway to the move of God. To the move of God. Do you need God to move in your life, in your situation? Talk to us, Cindy, because there's a key right here in this song.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jericho, the story of Jericho is my favorite Bible story.
Jericho? Okay.
And, and one of the things that I love about it is when they were circling the city,
yeah.
It wasn't the army that was in front. It wasn't their fighters, their warriors,
right.
Their arms. It was their praise team.
It was their praise team, yes.
The praise team went first.
Yes.
And I think, you know, it says God inhabits the praises of his people.
He does.
So you want habitation with God, praise.
Well, and, that's it right there.
Yeah, and so I think that, to me, that's one of the reasons I love the story is that it was unconventional in every single way.
It was.
It's not how you do battle.
Right.
But our battles are not conventional.
They are not.
The Bible clearly says that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. Our
right.
battles are against principalities.
Amen.
And darkness and the battle is unconventional.
Yes.
And therefore you have
yes.
to approach it unconventionally.
Exactly.
And so lead with your praise team.
lead with your praise. Megan, a comment before we get up here to the top of the hour.
You know, it is so true that when you praise the Lord, that you can feel the Spirit move.
Because, yes, yes.
You know, whether when you're in church with a group of family members, being the church body, and we get to praising,
yeah,
the move of the Spirit,
yes.
It is absolutely amazing because it's like taking a shot of caffeine just right then and there because you get so pumped up
right.
and excited because you've entered the throne room of heaven.
Right.
You are literally right there. Whether you're in your car by yourself, you're in the shower, I don't care. He will be there with you in that
yes.
moment when
yes,
you
he
start
will.
Praising him, and it is just,
amen.
I love it. It's my favorite thing to do.
Well, I find it, and we'll just finish this segment, and then we'll get up to the top of the hour here in verse 5 of Genesis 22, when Abraham says to his servants, settle down here, you stay here with the donkey. The young man and I are going to go over there and worship God, and we'll come back to you soon. I mean, that's what they were doing. I believe that he and Isaac, as they walked, were praising God, worshiping God, and just entering into his presence. I believe that this whole situation, God had it in his hand. Abraham was trusting God, and they went into this situation praising God and worshiping God. We're going to talk more about that in just a couple minutes. We just want to thank our listeners, those of you that listen faithfully. If you are in the Tampa Bay area, or if you're in Idaho, Cindy, and want to come visit church, we're at 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater. It's right off of Hercules between Drew and Sunset Point. And easy to find, 2058 Weaver Park Drive, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. Wednesday night, we start at 5:15 for prayer meeting and have 6:15 Bible study, usually out of the building by about 7:30. We will be happy to give you our, give it to you now. If you have a pen and want to be a part of the Wednesday night prayer meeting, here's how you do it. We have a free conference call line, and here's what you do. You dial this number. Are you ready? 480-297-0773. I'll give that to you again. It is 480-297-0773. And then it's going to ask you for the access code. It is always the same every single week to enter the prayer meeting. It is 362-5851-pound. One more time. Our access code is 362-5851-pound. You can join the prayer meeting any week that you want. It will announce. It'll ask your name. It'll announce, and I will be running it. And all you have to do is give your name, and then you're in the prayer meeting with us for an hour. And it's a mighty time to be a part of the prayer meeting. because technology has made that possible. On Sunday mornings, we have a Zoom for the service. And if you want to watch that, send an email to prayers@bohmglobal.com. Say, add me to your Zoom list for Sundays. And you'll get an email on Saturday with the code in order to get into the Zoom service. And that number, again, or that time, that Zoom, that email address is prayers@bohmglobal.com. We have a prayer line. We use it continually. People use it around the globe. prayers@bohmglobal.com. BOHM stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. So prayers@bohmglobal.com. Megan, I'm going to ask you to mention something about that. And also, Cindy, as soon as we get up to the top of the hour here so I can do station ID before we talk anymore about the prayer line. But I'd like for you both to share the importance of the prayer line, why we have this, and what happens. Okay, here
we go. WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.